The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. Sorry for the delay. I had to pull up a file with my notes. It's 8:30 p.m. It's Sunday, October 18th, 2020, and thank you for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I'm host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, MDB Media. Tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode, and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials. For those who may be confused or not quite fully caught up, The Walking Dead Classic showed the long-awaited Season 10 finale back on October 4th, along with the opener of World Beyond. The Walking Dead will continue on later with six mini-episodes that were added on to the tail of Season 10, and a time and date to be announced at some point later. Everything is later. I'll let you know. So now we're in a Fear and World Beyond doubleheader season through at least Thanksgiving. But yes, those of you good at math, the number of episodes don't neatly line up with one another, so we will keep you posted how this wraps up at the mid-season. Joan was joining us just a minute ago, but lost connection, so hopefully she'll be back in a hot minute. And I will greet her appropriately when she gets back. So, welcome to the doubleheader of Season 6, Episode 2 of Fear, and Season 1, Episode 3 of World Beyond. Season 6 of Fear will adhere to the split-season tradition, airing Episodes 1 through 7 from tonight through November 22nd. Episode 8 is rumored to run Thanksgiving weekend, but this hasn't been officially confirmed yet. I don't know if they have production issues like we did in the spring with the end of Season 10 of Walking Dead Classic. I'm not sure what the problem is. But at any rate, only 1 through 7 have been posted. 8's floating around. The back half premiere dates have also not yet been announced. So, AMC has spent almost all of 2020 making major schedule and production adjustments due to the quarantine. So for now, we are assuming the back half of Fear and possibly The Walking Dead back half will, well, actually, no, not the back half, will be the premiere of Season 11. And somewhere in there, they're going to squeeze in six episodes. I really don't know how this is supposed to add up. It's going to all go on probably either starting February or starting April of 2021, as I've done in the past. I'm really just flying around and letting you guys know when I know, and it's been craziness that we have never dealt with before. Probably, again, some kind of doubleheader with one or the other shows. There's three shows. Two of them can play together in one evening, and I guess they're permutating back and forth who gets to play with who. All right, we're not at all yet clear how Season 2 of World Beyond fits into any of this, because it's only 10 episodes. And to make it even more fun, in 2022, there's a fourth series coming on, a spinoff series fronted by Carol and Daryl, which, of course, spoils that they make it out of at least Season 10, if not 11. Or this may be prequels. They're sort of standalone stories, kind of like Star Trek or The Twilight Zone, rather than a contiguous storyline from one to the other. The untitled fourth series will be an episodic roadshow-style story. And that's all I can really tell you about that at this time. Joan hasn't come back yet. Please don't leave me alone. anyway, please note that since tonight's show is a double feature, we will be running longer than normal, ending just before 11 p.m. Eastern time. We may end our show early if another show immediately follows us. For example, I happen to know that the head of our network has been trying to get his tax show on, and is probably trying again tonight, so I'm going to try to skip out on you guys early again. I have been noticing shows queuing up, and I'm not sure why they're not completing, but I'm trying to be courteous, so I'm going to need to duck out on you guys early again so that hopefully other people on the network can do their things too, trying to share. Also, I'm going to be tweaking our trivia and other segment since we launch straight from fear into World Beyond without the half hour of discussion in between beforehand. And we'll keep our listeners updated as we go. By the way, The Talking Dead does not air again after all of this until November 22nd, and then I don't know what's happening. I'm not sure why they're not doing it every week. Maybe doing it by Zoom is too hard on Chris Hardwick. Not really clear. But at any rate, typically we start the show about a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from the previous episode. And apologies for me, I'm still dealing with a little tickle cough. Again, don't have COVID. It's an acid reflux thing. I'm working on it. But pardon me if I have to excuse myself every so often off the mic. Anyway, well, we've recapped from the previous episode, discussion of what is to come tonight, and I see that Joan has come back. So allow me to pause and welcome her back, because I know she fought long and hard to get back here. Hopefully you can hear me. Not sure if she's got technical issues, but we'll find out in a hot minute. Okay. So at 9 p.m., we go dark or mute and watch the new episode together live and give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please don't discuss either spoilers that you hear out and about on the internet or stuff about the comics in the chat or on the air. We prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's presented. If you want to call in to speak with the host, that's 914-338-0314. You can call in anytime during the show. I especially encourage you to call between 8:30 and 9 p.m. Eastern Time. That way, we're freer to talk. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., I'll have to screen and mute you until the commercial break, and then we can chat live on the air freely. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us in our live chat room, where you will be able to listen to the show real time, as well as download the episode after the fact, and we post the link to that on our Facebook page and my Twitter, usually. So feel free to grab a link. If you can't join us while we're doing it, come back later and download it and listen to it as you're watching the show after the fact. All right. Just go up to the right-hand corner, and there's a cloud-shaped white icon at the top, and just click that to download the show. All righty. See if Joan is back. She's back. For the record, it wasn't me. Oh, her internet's giving her fits, and she can hear me now. Yay. Very super glad to hear that. Welcome back. Just in time for me to say tonight's episode is Welcome to the Club. The official AMC synopsis is, Virginia forces Alicia and Strand to clear an unusual walker threat, where an encounter with a new ally gives Strand an idea that could be the key to their freedom. Alrighty. And I do have one other synopsis. As I've mentioned, I've been tweaking our format a tiny bit because I want to be able to talk about both shows, but I don't have time to devote to the second show that I do normally. So I've been, rather than having three or four beefy synopses, I'm just doing one. This one happens to be from one of our familiar sources, Fansided at UndeadWalking.com, written by Sarah Beth Pollock, who is one of their regular writers about the Walking Dead universe. Pardon me, coughing break. And Sarah Beth has to say, after a very strong season 6 premiere featuring the rebirth of Morgan Jones, the story shifts gears in the second episode to check in with Strand and Alicia in Fear the Walking Dead 602. Welcome to the club. Let's take a look at what we can expect in this all-new episode. Lenny James makes his Walking Dead universe directorial debut tonight in Welcome to the Club. And yes, I will get to that in a bit. And it's appropriate to have the OG of the Walking Dead going behind the camera for an episode that features the OGs of the first Walking Dead spinoff. Non-spoiler, spoiler alert, he does a fantastic job. The anthology format in season 6 is such that after a Morgan episode for the premiere, it's time to check in with Alicia and Strand. An unknown amount of time has passed and they're working under Virginia's control. But things aren't what they seem to be, and it's up to this dynamic duo to figure out what's really going on. And scrolling down, and apparently the rest of this is video and audio, so there's not too much else to say. That's all right. Okay, let me go back to my notes. There's not too much to say on that extended synopsis. Let's see if Joan has anything to add. Not right now. So, next segment is writers and directors profiles. Tonight's episode of Fear is written by Nazreen Choudhury, C-H-O-U-D-H-U-R-Y, and directed by Lenny James. All right, Nazreen Choudhury is a British TV series writer, producer, and actress, best known for her radio dramas and extensive work in American television. Choudhury was born in southwest London, England, the youngest of five children to first-generation Bangladeshi parents. She graduated with a BSc in biomedical science from King's College London with a view to becoming a doctor, but then, and I couldn't find why online, completed an MA in screenwriting at the Northern Film School, having received a Film 4 Productions Channel 4 Award. She did a little bit of acting, but got her start behind the scenes in 2002, working as a story associate on the long-running UK TV soap Coronation Street. Choudhury scripted episodes of British television serials such as Casualty, Doctors, EastEnders, and Waterloo Road. Her critically acclaimed radio play, Mixed Blood, won the Richard Emerson Award in 2006. Choudhury is currently based in Los Angeles and is married. She mentioned in an interview that she drew on her own experiences as a Bangladeshi woman married to a white man for her work on the show Mixed Blood. In 2006, she was also awarded a grant for the arts by the Arts Council of England for her first novel, My England. Her first screenplay, Scum, won the Focus on Talent Award, a competition run by DNA Films. She was selected as one of 10 finalists for the 2014 Fox Writers Intensive. She has written for A&E's Damien, Houdini, and Doyle, Fox's Wayward Pines in 2015, CBS's Blood and Treasure 2019, and she is the producer of Amazon Prime Video's Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan in 2018. In addition to her writing career, Nazreen has held administrative positions within the university setting and in the political field. She previously served on the Board of Governors for the Local Education Authority and the Society Authors. She is also involved with BAFTA's Community Outreach Program, providing mentorship and training for students in South LA, as well as running her own storytelling workshops in schools and professional settings across the UK and in Los Angeles. Nazreen has 5 TV acting credits. I don't know the shows that were listed. They may be UK shows, and that's why. She has 6 producer's credits, including newly becoming a co-executive producer for Fear starting in season 6. She has 11 writer's credits to her name before writing tonight's episode becoming her 12th credit, and executive producership notwithstanding, her first work on anything else in the Walking Dead franchise. Okay. Now, Lenny James, and I'm sure you guys know who he is, but there are some little factoids about his career that maybe you don't know. So, Lenny Michael James was born in Nottinghamshire, England, and I may be saying that wrong, apologize to British people, to Afro-Trinidadian parents originating from Nigeria. His parents were not married, and his father abandoned the family early, leaving his mother to raise himself and his brother on her own as a single parent. James's mother, Phyllis Mary James, died when he was 10, after which he and his brother, Kester, chose to live in a children's home instead of being sent to the United States to reside with a relative. And that's the only reason I bring up the thing with his parents, because the whole thing with his dad has come up in interviews recently and affected some things in his life. James remained in foster care for 8 years. He was initially interested in becoming a professional rugby player. That changed when he auditioned for his first school play. He attended the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, graduating in 1988. I did not realize he was that many years younger than I am. Wow. He is the main cook for his family and has professed a fondness for Caribbean cuisine. His favorite football team, and when I say this, it probably means what Americans call soccer, is Tottenham Hotspur. He lived in South London and went to school at Ernest Bevin College. He has three daughters, Romy, R-O-M-Y, and twins, Celine and Georgia, with wife Giselle Glassman. Lenny James and his wife met in youth theater when they were teenagers. She is an actress, too. The two tied the knot in the 80s and are still happy together. James also works as a mentor to black inner-city kids and says that he rejects the importance people attach to fame and celebrity. Quote, boys and men in our community need to be aware of the guy who gets up every morning and goes to the job that he doesn't necessarily love in order to support his family. They are the heroes my community needs to celebrate, end quote, he said. Aside from soundtrack, producer, and writer's credits, James has 77 acting credits to his name since 1988. He's best known for playing Tony Gates in Line of Duty, Morgan Jones in The Walking Dead, and Fear the Walking Dead, and has appeared in many films, including Snatch in 2000 and Blade Runner 2049 in 2017. Among James's more notable roles in television is Glenn Boyle in the medical drama Critical on Sky One. On American television, he portrayed the mysterious Robert Hawkins in the CBS series Jericho, which is how I know him, and Detective Joe Geddes in the AMC television series Low Winter Sun. He also played number 147, the driver, in the 2009 miniseries remake of the old TV show The Prisoner. Most importantly to our listeners, James is best known for being, after Rick and Glenn, one of whom is gone, the other presumed gone effectively for now, the earliest character introduced in the Walking Dead universe who still remains active anywhere in the plot of the franchise somewhere, though he hops shows to fear. He did 54 episodes of The Walking Dead as Morgan from 2010 to 18, and then an additional 41 before tonight on Fear from 2018 to 2020, and listed as cast up until at least episode 7 this season of Fear for now. For his performance in The Walking Dead, James won the Online Film and Television Association Award for Best Guest Actor in a Drama Series in 2013. Tonight is James's directorial debut anywhere in the Walking Dead franchise. And let's give them some applause for their work on the show. Much appreciation. Okay, trivia for tonight's episode of Fear. This will be the 71st episode of Fear overall. Co-stars tonight, Carissa Allen as Adrienne. And the next five actors, like these six actors, are all pioneers that I'm naming. Samuel French is Ben. Noah Kyle as Cameron. Satya Nikhil Polisetti as Sanjay. Justin Smith as Marcus. And Lee Stringer as Jeb. They're all pioneers. Craig Nye, who plays Hill, is a pioneer. He has been upgraded from co-star to also starring in this episode. And uncredited is an actor who plays Grayson, who is a pioneer. There's a photo of him on the website. I usually get a lot of my trivia, which to me, I'm assuming, and I'm going out on a limb here, kind of implies that the actor may be known but cannot be credited, like if there is a contractual problem where they're doing the show anonymously because reasons. Okay, deaths will be TBA. We'll find out later. And actual trivia, first appearance of the characters Marcus, Cameron, Dakota, Sanjay, Grayson, Adrienne, Ben, and Jeb. first appearance of the location, Lawton, Oklahoma. Lawton, Oklahoma is a fortified town set to appear in Fear the Walking Dead. It is an established community, part of Virginia's network. At some point, Virginia's pioneers occupied this town and occupied this town and converted it into a settlement. That was worded very badly, so I had to reword it on the fly. Captives currently there are Alicia Clark, Victor Strand, Charlie, Daniel Salazar, and a character named Janice, and I did not remember her, so I wrote some quick notes to remind me as well as you guys. She first appeared in Season 5. She's a defector from Virginia's Pioneers. After being rescued from a trap of walkers by Wes, Alicia, and Strand, Janice joined Morgan's group. Okay, trivia from last episode, which was last week, The End is the Beginning. Co-stars are Damon Carney as Walter, Craig Nye as Hill, Joseph Castillo Midyet as Cigarette Man. That was one of the guys that didn't have a name last week because they wanted to surprise us. Cigarette Man's the guy who was spray painting the submarine. The end is whatever that slogan was with the spray paint. I can't remember. Joan, if you're feeling full of trivia, if you want to look it up, that would be appreciated, but you don't have to. You spray paint the submarine, and then Walter, then Emil, then Morgan ends up with the key. And the key is to that submarine. This is posted information, although I don't feel it was made clear during the episode. But anyway, there it is. And Stephen Brody as young man who's Cigarette Man's buddy waiting on the submarine key. Two uncredited actors, unknown infant actor as Morgan being the baby girl. She is the second infant, by the way, in the Fear series to be born after the outbreak, the first being Victor. This was an infant who was named after Strand helped mother Ava at the Beach Hotel in Season 3, Episode 2. She being Morgan, was named obviously after Morgan Jones. An unknown dog actor is Rufus, who is Emil's dog, who might have stayed in the valley with new mom Rachel. Okay, deaths from last week. Walter, who was left decapitated, I believe the head was left alive to send to the bounty requester, and then he got derailed to go hunt for Morgan. Emil LaRue was left decapitated, and his head was sent to Virginia, pretending to be Morgan Jones in the box. What's in the box? And Isaac, the father of the newborn girl, Morgan, he dies off-screen. His wife puts him down and buries him after having just given birth. I hope that at least, since he knew he was bitten, maybe he was at least helping dig because he knew this was going to have to be done. I mean, having given birth, that's not something you should be making a new mother do. I'm just saying. Okay, let's check in. Joseph, don't leave me in. She said, I'll try, no promises. I know, but I know you will do your best to come back if your internet decides to be stupid. I'm getting a time check in here. Okay, 8:54. We are getting very close to 9. So let me go through the trivia and get to a pausing place here. Trivia from last week. First appearance of Rufus, Rachel, Morgan, Hill. First and last appearance of Walter, Emil LaRue, and Isaac. The title of last week's episode, The End is the Beginning. Oh, that's the graffiti. Refers to the graffiti that the two men spray on the side of a beach submarine. Morgan apparently abandoned his staff for good in favor of Emil's axe. However, it's currently unclear if he still carries it or not. Yeah, I haven't seen him with it. I kind of figured when he was left for dead that somehow it went missing, but I don't know. It is revealed that sepsis causes walkers to ignore living survivors as the smell of the wound masks their scent. I find this to be spurious math, and do not come at me with the entire thing is fiction, blah, blah, blah. I know that. It's a matter of scientific consistency in a world that exists in a parallel to ours. And in ours, sepsis, I do not think, could be mistaken for somebody being a walker. It doesn't smell that damn bad. All right. Anyway, I believe we are... No, we're not. This is last week's episode. But this scene is in the opening of this week's episode because I saw it in the promo. I'm going to keep reading. It's 8:55. I got a minute to do that. Okay, this is the first time in the entire Walking Dead franchise that someone successfully camouflaged themselves in walkers without using any walker parts. It has been at least 5 to 6 weeks since the events of the episode End of the Line, although it's unclear, as Morgan states, he hasn't been thinking about the time he has passed since he got shot by Virginia. I'm just assuming he has no way to keep time that way. The person who saved Morgan from the brink of death remains unknown, as Morgan himself doesn't know who the person was. This episode marks the first time that Morgan has directly killed a living person in Fear the Walking Dead continuity. According to an early screener, a callback to Days Gone By is featured in this episode. About that last week. The cold open to this episode is very similar to the cold open of What's Your Story? Both feature two living characters by a fire at night, and the first word of dialogue is someone there? This is the second episode to feature only one main cast member, the first being Close Your Eyes, Season 4, Episode 10, about Alicia. And Goofs airs bloopers from last episode. Several zombies featured and killed in Season 5 are seen in this episode, including a female zombie killed by Isaac that was about to attack Morgan, as well as a Shelby lookalike killed by Morgan at the dam. Alrighty. It's 8:57. We've caught up on birthdays, and I only have three, so I'm going to go ahead and squeeze these out real quick. Cast birthdays coming up this week. Daniel Kevin Fogler, who played Luke in Magna's Group. October 20th, he's from Brooklyn. Corey Antonio Hawkins, who plays Heath. October 22nd, he's a DC boy. And by the way, he played Dr. Dre in Straight Outta Compton. And Kyle Stephen Gallner, who played Zach, a teen in the prison series. October 22nd also, and he's from Westchester, Pennsylvania. So real quick, let's get some birthday love. Thank you. Also real quick, shoving in here, Joan commented, she looked up gangrene last week and could find nothing that connects it to Morgan's red eyes either. And she's not sure about the sepsis, but if he truly had gangrene, he would not have recovered that quickly. I am not surprised. It certainly won't be the first time that television has been medically inaccurate. That's kind of a thing with me. Okay, still squeezing in a couple comments. Featured music from last episode, there wasn't any declared. So I don't know if people are just not finding it. I haven't been able to pay attention and write it down, but unaccounted for characters, I'm not going to keep reading. Talking Dead is not on again until November 22nd. I will keep telling you guys that. So that's going to be several weeks from now. So I'll keep telling you. Okay, I think we are getting very close. Yeah, we've only got 1 minute. So I'll tell you what. The next part is just the rest of the Fear of Walking Dead season lineup, and I don't want to do this part way because it's hard to keep track if you're reading it in pieces. So I'm going to just hold this now, and then I'll read this to you guys at the first commercial break. I'm going to go dark. I'll see you in a few. Okay, guys, it's 9:05, and we are at our first commercial break. I'm just starting with a flat-out five. As Joe so aptly put it, okay, what the hell was the point of all that? I honestly don't know, and frankly, I object to some of the mechanics because those walkers, I don't know where that big pile of goo was coming from. If it's coming from the walkers or something has happened under there. But with the goo and the cement and the bad angle and the rotting bodies, I do not think that they could be reaching under that door and grabbing standing living people and having them pulled under like that. I think that was a mess. So Joan, you are free to vote less than five if you had wanted to start that way. But okay, she's voted five. And she says, oh, we already know Virginia is a ruthless bitch. Yes, we do. It felt like they were just pushing the horror for horror's sake, nothing about furthering the story. I don't know. I actually have to say the goo and what is going on has my curiosity up, but I'm only going to forgive it if this leads to a plot point of any interest. Like, what's going on behind that door? Why is there goo like that? Like, there was a river of bloody goo, and that's not normal. So they have my interest, but they better not F it up and make this boring. That's all I got to say. Okay, iced tea for Kitty. Now we're good. Okay, so we have a commercial. Let me go to my notes and see. Okay, so I was reading you the rest of the season six lineup. This is only up to the half. We don't have any more than that yet. So next week, episode three is Alaska, directed by Coleman Domingo, writer is Mallory Westfall. That's October 25th. Episode four is The Key, and I bet you know which key. Director is Ron Underwood. Writer is David Leslie Johnson. That's November 1st. And we are back, so I'm going to shut up. And I broke my promise. Wasn't going to split this, but I'll tell you the rest of break two. Okay, guys, it's 9:19, much longer gap to the next commercial break. In the last little chat, we saw Dakota. Now we know who Dakota is. Dakota is a mini Jenny. Very cute, Joan. Possible daughter from her looks, which are quite a bit like Virginia. And Daniel turns out to be Barber in Virginia's camp. Although he has what kind of looks like, pardon my hiccups, a shoe heel whack on the forehead. And I mentioned he should just cut her throat. And Joan said the old Daniel would have and then killed her sidekick before he could sound the alarm. And when he was interacting with Stranda and Alicia, I kind of feel like by some means, it was a test, and they're being spied on in the office, and Daniel had no way to let Strand know, because Strand is speaking in Spanish, but I think it was a gross assumption that there's nobody in Virginia's camp who also speaks Spanish, so I think that was part of the problem, and I think they were being both listened to and watched. All right. Joan is going to refresh again because she's having trouble hearing me, so I'm hoping the rest of you can hear me. apparently there is a Mark Hamill commercial. Oh, Mark Hamill and Patrick Stewart with a tortellini and a ciabatta. I don't know who they're doing a commercial for, but it looks hilarious. Okay, Joan says it's better now that she's refreshed. So we're happy about that part. I have gone to 5.5. Joan is staying at 5. We're not sure what was going on with that last bit with Daniel and Strand, but I contend that it's a ruse of some sort, and Joan is hoping I'm correct. And we shall see. So let me go back to my notes. Well, we have a hot minute. I was in the middle of reading you the upcoming episodes. Number 5 is Honey. Director is Sharat Raju. That should be a familiar name to some of you. Writer is Ashley Cardiff. Likewise, November 8th. Number 6 is Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg. And I'm pretty sure that's a reference to some kind of thing in an earlier episode of Fear, something that John might have said. Tania McKiernan, who is a new person, is directing. And the writer is Alex Delisle. That's November 15th. And episode 7 is Damage from the Inside. Don't know the director, but the writer is Jacob Pinion. And that's November 22nd. We do not have a title for episode 8 or any information about it, including when it airs. It might be the 28th. It might not. Really hard to say. Okay. So It's only 9:22, and we do have time, so I might start working in information on World Beyond, just so that you guys have it, because we're going to go from one show right to the other. So tonight's episode of World Beyond is going to be Season 1, Episode 3, and it's called The Tiger and the Lamb. It's T-Y-G-E-R, which to me is a William Blake reference. Tiger, tiger, burning bright in the forest of the night, blah, blah, blah. I don't know why they did that. I can find no reference to why the title was how it is. That's probably one of those things that I'll find out next week and give you as last week's trivia. The synopsis is something I'll give you guys at break number three, because we're back. Okay, guys, it's 9:29. Jonah's still at 5. I'm gonna stay at 5 for right now. Well, there's some interesting things, but they're not that compelling. And so apparently Dakota is the younger sister. But yeah, much younger sister. You know, I know it's kind of hard to tell with the way that they both look and how they're hairstyled and blah, blah, blah. They kind of had that Judge thing going. So it could be mother, daughter, it could be sisters. I don't know, whatever. It's fine. So let me go back to my notes. And we were just starting to talk a little bit about World Beyond, because I do want to get that out of the way. It's 9:30. We have plenty of time right now, but I have concerns I won't be able to do it later. So, Tiger and the Lamb. And the synopsis is, burdened by their past, members of the group, which they're kind of now calling themselves the Endlings, adopt opposing strategies for dealing with a massive obstacle. Pressure is put on the group to return home. This episode tonight of World Beyond is written by Siavash, S-I-A-V-A-H, B-A-S-H, pardon, Farahani. And, oh, that's a mouthful. I hope I did it even some semblance of justice. I am trying. Okay. Siavash Farahani, WGA, is an Iranian-American filmmaker, screenwriter, and composer. Born in Tehran, Iran, he subsequently immigrated to Oslo, Norway, before moving to Los Angeles, where he attended the USC School of Cinematic Arts as a production major. There, his thesis film, Ingenue, I think, I-N-G-U-E-N-E, but I think that's misspelled from somewhere. Yeah, I'm not sure that's spelled correctly. Which he wrote, directed, and scored, spawned a professional career in the film industry, beginning with his original screenplay, Domino Falling, and followed by various studio film projects, including Max Payne by Dimension and The Shadow by Columbia, and Aladdin by Radical Relativity. He completed his feature film directorial debut, Domino Falling, in 2014. Aside from his professional work and passion for music composition, since 2011 he has enjoyed spending time back at his alma mater, where his career first began to instruct and mentor the next generation of Jedi storytellers. Very cute. And this is from his bio. He is currently a part-time lecturer at the John Wells Division of Writing for Screen and Television at the USC School of Cinematic Arts. His client list includes AMC, CBS, Amazon, 20th Century Fox, Columbia, Sony Pictures, Warner Brothers, Disney, Relativity, Dimension, Miramax Films, Global Road, Industry Entertainment, Beacon Pictures, Mayhem Pictures, Radical Publishing, and others. He's represented by CAA and Circle of Confusion. Tonight is Siavash Bash's first work for anything in the Walking Dead franchise. The director is Sharat Raju. Sharat Raju is an Indian-American director and writer known for creating documentaries and films pertaining to the lives of immigrants in American society. His first film, American Made, won 17 Film Festival Awards and aired nationally on PBS's Independent Lens. Raju is known for his work on Scandal, 2012, American Made, 2003, and Designated Survivor, 2014. 2016. The Walking Dead in production sneak peek, and there's a Zoom chat. They're having extra stuff. I have seen something on AMC's website, if you guys want to check that out directly and sign in with your cable login, where they're having a lot of behind-the-scenes extra stuff that they're posting lately, I guess, is to give us stuff to do, stuff to look at. Watch this clip on YouTube. And I think we're going back now, so I will hush. See you guys at the next break. All right, it's 9:39, and Joan is patiently putting up with fear, probably for my benefit. I'm going to inch up to 5.75 just because I'm kind of wondering if the goo with the walkers in that little pen has anything to do with what's inside of there being nuclear in some way. Nuclear! Joan says, not sure they mentioned a key. Could be the other key for the submarine. Maybe. I really don't know. Except, I'm just thinking that whatever is going on with the weapon is why there is goo. And she said, still five, and yes, more for my benefit than the show itself. And yeah, I do appreciate that because I know that fear is really trying our patience, especially Virginia. I honestly have to tell you guys, I know the showrunners are not listening to my show, and they could not possibly give two shits what I have to say, but I'm really over Virginia as a villain. I've seen people on social media praise her and blah, 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 but I just look at her and I go, why in the hell would anybody follow you? And I'm sorry to turn this show mildly political, but then again, I look at real life right now and I don't get why people are following certain other people that are in office at the moment. So I don't understand it, and so I don't understand her. Let's just say that and leave it. Okay, and Joan says, I don't get the goo either, but then I don't know much about nuclear weapons. You know, I'm not a nuclear weapons person, and frankly, most of what I know about these things is probably colored by having watched RoboCop and that guy that ran through the nuclear waste and then just disintegrated on top of the cop car, but whatever. It's fine. Okay, let me go back to my notes on Sharad Raju, who is the director of the following episode, Tiger and Lamb, at 10. I was just saying that he was a D.C. person, but I hadn't gotten to it yet. Grew up in Darien, Illinois, near Chicago, and attended Hinsdale South High School. Former sports editor of the student paper at the University of Michigan and worked as a freelance reporter for the Daily Herald in Northern Illinois. Raju lives with his wife, Valerie Carr, K-U-R, in Los Angeles. Raju's brother, Manu Raju, co-founded the Yale Visual Law Project and is a veteran Washington, D.C. political reporter and is currently senior congressional correspondent for CNN. Sharad Raju, co-founded the Yale Visual Law Project and co-produced 3 documentary short films as a visiting fellow at Yale Law School's Information Society Project. American Made was Raju's master thesis while studying at the American Film Institute. In September 2004, Raju was named by Esquire magazine as one of the 20 young film directors to watch. Prior to graduate school, he worked for acclaimed casting director Molly Finn on feature films including 8 Mile, Matrix Revolutions, and Matrix Reloaded. Raju has collaborated on many of his works with his wife, Valerie Carr. Divided We Fall 2008 was Raju's first film created in partnership with his wife. The couple has made other documentary films, including Stigma 2011, which highlights the impact of New York City's police stop and frisk policy. And we're still at commercials. I can keep going. Alienation 2011, about immigration raids. The Worst of the Worst, Portrait of a Supermax 2012. A documentary on the use of solitary confinement in prison, and Oak Creek In Memoriam, 2012, a short film about the 2012 mass shooting at a Sikh gurdwara in Wisconsin. He has also directed episodes of famous TV shows like Scandal, How to Get Away with Murder, NCIS New Orleans, Criminal Minds, and Mistresses. Directing tonight's episode will be his fourth time working in the Walking Dead franchise, the first being directing Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 13, Blackjack, then Fear, Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince, then The Walking Dead Classic, Season 10, Episode 13, What We Become, and tonight is his first work on World Beyond. He's also currently slated to direct Fear, Season 6, Episode 5, Honey, airing on November 8th. And let's give them some applause for working on the show. Thank you, guys. We are back. I will see you guys at break number 5. Okay, guys, it's 9:51 p.m. We're at break number 5, I think. I'm still at 575. Don't feel like going up because I'm kind of with Joan, getting a little annoyed. Yeah, just like not going up, which I could. Still at 5, just can't justify it. This is kind of what you usually see mid-season because they split the seasons. You know, this is what you usually see around episode 4 of 8. She's getting whiplash with the about face with the characters, Strand, and trying to figure out what the hell is in that building, and Ginny's explanation about him being a leader, that's bullshit. It's so much bullshit. And he should have taken his weapon and just stabbed her under the chin, right up through the cranium. Because the amount of chaos involved would just naturally disintegrate the power structure. Like, do you guys know nothing? Oh, my God. Okay, I don't know. I'm aggravated with the whole thing. Let me go back to my notes and read you guys some things that are cool. I finished Sharat Raju's bio, so let me give you trivia for tonight's episode of World Beyond. I'm doing the cast list because they are new to us and not familiar yet. So, Alia Royale as Iris Bennett, Alexa Mansour as Hope Bennett, Hal Cumston as Silas Plaskett, and Nicholas Cantu as Elton Ortiz. Also, Nico Tortorella as Felix Carlucci, and Annette Mahendru as Huck, who's the security chick that's going with Felix to chase the kids down. Also, Julia Ormond as Elizabeth Kublak, who's the CRM lieutenant colonel, you know, the sort of blondish older lady. Also starring James Martin Kelly as Marco Voci, V-O-C-I, Silas's uncle in a voiceover, and Al Calderon as Barca, who's a CRM soldier. And I think we're going to see more of him because he keeps coming up. I'm talking about AMC Plus streaming, so I'm kind of double-checking just to see if we're going back or not. Oh, no, we're talking about diabetes now, so we got a minute. All right, more trivia. Also starring, we just did, so co-stars, Diego Abraham as Teen Kid 1, Jordan Shirley as Teen Kid 2. Both of these are kids who may have survived last week's CRM purge of NSU. They might have survived, or we might just hear from them long enough to find out they didn't. I'm unclear. Uncredited actors, Joe Holt as Leopold Bennett in a photograph, Danny Fish as Danny, archival footage, Aislinn Freya Pax as Phoebe, archival footage, unknown as Silas's grandfather, voice only, unknown as Silas's grandmother, voice only, Gina Jun as campus staff, and deaths will be TBA, of course. Ewan McGregor's in something on a bike, and by bike I mean motorcycle, but it doesn't appear to be Norman Reedus's thing. Something called Long Way Up on Apple TV Plus, whatever. Okay, booze commercial, I can go back. First and last appearance of Marco Voci in a flashback killed by Sierra and NSU. Last appearance of Danny, likewise killed, and Phoebe, likewise killed. Last appearance of the campus colony, which is NSU, in a flashback. Trivia for episode 2, co-stars were Sterling Gardner as Cliff Carlucci, Samantha Lorraine as young Hope Bennett, and Dawson Shea as young Felix Carlucci. Uncredited was Christina Brucato as Amelia Ortiz in archival footage. Deaths are Mr. and Mrs. Carlucci, Cliff and Mrs., who doesn't have a name. They were zombies walking around their house. Trivia, first and last appearance of Cliff Carlucci in a flashback. The title of the episode, The Blaze of Gory, refers to a location of the same name. The tin of food that Iris is seen eating has a symbol of the Alliance of the Three on it. This is like the food Anne had, otherwise known as Janus, in the junkyard in The Lost and the Plunderers. And speaking of CRM, here is a little commercial for World Beyond with their airships and things going on. So we're probably going to go back in a minute. Featured music from last week's World Beyond, Season 1, Episode 2, was a song called Sleepwalk by Santo and Johnny, which is what was playing with the kids in the treehouse playing Monopoly. I'm waiting to see if we're going back, and we are back, so I'll shut up. See you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, it's 10:08. As predicted, we have gone straight from Fear into World Beyond. And World Beyond had its first segment, so we are actually in commercial break one of World Beyond. So Joan and I were right, or at least Joan seems to think I had a plausible guess, that Daniel was, in fact, perpetuating a ruse, and he's very good at this. You guys have to remember who the hell he has been since the beginning of Fear. He's totally capable of these things, and Virginia and them are not capable of the sort of brain fuckery it would have taken to keep him functional, but strategically and surgically excise just certain parts of his memory. They're not that smart. They're really not. Don't give them credit they haven't earned. So yeah, it was a ruse. I just don't know why. I don't know what he gains by it. But at any rate, well played, because apparently Morgan found him and found everybody else. So pretty awesome. Jonah says she wishes Alicia would get back to being the person who she was when she had to be back in seasons 2 and 3. Yes. And Joan has ended on 5-5, and I ended on 6. Joan says, hard to remember who any of them were since the new showrunners came on to Fear. And that is fair. You know, I have tried really hard with Fear, but I'm sorry, showrunners for seasons 4 and 5, you know, y'all did something to the show. I'm sorry. And we're preaching to the choir, and I'm wasting time. So let me give you data on the show. Okay. Hold on here. I need to open up my text file. There we go. Much more orderly. Sorry. One. This is what's left of World Beyond. I may not get to it. Hold on a second. No, we're back. I'll tell you at the next break. Okay, it's 10:20. And we are in World Beyond break number 2. I'm going with 525. Now, this is funny. Joan's at 575 with us so far. I'm kind of having the same irritation with World Beyond that we're having with Fear at the moment. I'm kind of feeling like World Beyond is the frickin' Babysitter's Club meets Walking Dead. You know, I'm not invested in these characters. I'm really not. So I'm not sure what's going on with that. Going to my notes. So let me get you the rundown for the rest of season 1 of World Beyond. So next week is episode 4, The Wrong End of a Telescope. Writer is Sinead Daly. Director is Rachel Letterman. That's October 25th. Episode 5, Mad Men Across the Water. Writer is Rohit Kumar. Director is Dan Liu. November 1st. Episode 6 is Shadow Puppets. Writer is Maya Goldsmith. Director, there may be a mishap with this in episode 7. One of these might be wrong, or we have a double header. Director is listed as Michael Cutlets. And then episode 7, Truth of Air, writer is Eddie Gazalian, and director is Michael Cutlets on November 15th. So I don't know if he directed 2 in a row or if one's a boo-boo. I'll let you know later when I find out. Episode 8, The Sky is a Graveyard. Writer is Elizabeth Patton. Director is Lauren Iaconelli. November 22nd, episode 9, The Deepest Cut, writer's TBA, director's TBA, November 29th. And then episode 10, season finale, In This Life, Matt Negrete and director's Magnus Martins. They opened this season, December 6th. And we are not yet back, but we might be soon. I'm double checking. Exercise your right to vote, and there's an exorcism pun involved. Very cute. Other upcoming shows on NDB Media include later tonight, 11 p.m., Jedi Tax Radio with Rogelio Noriega, Questions at the IRS Man on Twitter and Jedi.tax. And there's a Roomba commercial, so I will continue. Tuesday the 20th, 10 p.m. Eastern Time, Fandom Access. Week in Review, join the fantastic flounderings of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they tackle another night of TV. Thursday the 22nd, 8 p.m., Travel Itch Radio. Here's an idea to add spice to everyone's bucket list. Take an African safari without sacrificing comfort or luxury. Opulent Africa, a 10-year-old tour company founded by British-born entrepreneur John Harvey, a.k.a. hashtag the safari guy, provides personalized itineraries to each of its clients, bringing them to remote regions of the continent or unforgettable wildlife tours. Hear the details from Harvey when he talks to Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugent Lake. And that is the end of my notes. Just a reminder to you guys, I'm going to sign off early in courtesy to a potential next show following me. We've been doing this for a few weeks now, so I'm not sure if it's happening, but I'm going to pretend that it is until I find out otherwise. So that is the end of my notes. We are still on commercial break. Checking to see what Joan is saying. Oh, she loves the oh shit we're caught looks on their faces when Felix asks where Hope is. And she says, I guess I'm willing to give them more of a chance to prove themselves. I didn't like all the characters in Fear in the first season either. Yes, and truth be told, you know, most television shows that we love, if you watch the very first episode, they're almost always lame. It's kind of a trope. It's a thing. They have to kind of find their sea legs, as it were. So, you know, I understand that they're just in the first couple episodes, but it's only 20 episodes total, so their learning curve is pretty sharp here, I'm just saying. They've only got 10 in the first season. So they can't spend more than the first two or three getting their poo-poo together. All right, we're back. I'll shut up. See you guys at the next break. But I might be signing off at that point. So see you later. Okay, guys, 10:29. This is probably my last break. Joan's at 5.75 still. I'm going to creep up to 5.5. But story is dragging. Nothing is happening. God bless America. Holy crap. Okay, we broke a handle on the siren. It's just the same old tropes. Like, why do we need another show? There's no reason for this show. There's so much they could have done. And I get that this is leading to the CRM and probably unifying the three stories and Rick's movies, blah, 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 but oh my God. So ham-fisted. I'm frustrated. This is one of my favorite franchises going down the toilet. Joan feels my pain. She is a good friend because she comes every week, even though she got aggravated before I did. All right. So anyway, I have read all of my notes and gotten all the information to you guys, so I'm not going to worry about that part. Yeah, Joan agrees. And for kids that grew up in this world, kill the empties already. Yeah, I find an extreme lack of the adults training the kids how they should be doing stuff if they have grown up in this world. You know, given that they're teenagers now, they should have had roughly approximately at least 10 or 15 years under their belt of what this universe is like. And, you know, look at Judith and Carl, for F's sake, and then compare these little kind of, you know, they're coddled, these kids, and I get they were behind walls away from stuff, but does not serve. This rarefied bullshit does not serve. It killed Alexandria, and Alexandria eventually had to become an army. Rick taught them that, and, you know, Tova Feltsch had to die. Okay, so So venting. I tell you what, I am going to go ahead and close off my mic and stuff and mute. And then I'm going to just, you know, I'm going to go ahead and log off. Joan, I appreciate you coming tonight. I enjoy talking to you, but I want to leave the chat and stuff open for the next show to try to log in. So I'm going to go ahead and see myself out for tonight. I appreciate all of you guys coming by. I appreciate those of you who are going to come by and listen to the show later on. And we will see you guys next week for another doubleheader. So thank you guys. Take care and good evening.